As most of you know, Casey and I have two children. We have Harrison, who is 3 years old, 3 and a half actually, and Haley is 9 months old. And Harrison is a very sweet little boy. We are we're blessed in that way. But he is also a toddler. And if you've ever seen a toddler, there are times where they are not exactly themselves. And he has those moments. Most of the time it's when we're playing or something like that, and then we have to stop. We got to go, or it's time for dinner, or something like that. And then you start to see a different side. And he has kind of a hard time with that. He starts to get upset. And then we try to deal with it as best as we can as parents. But there's been a couple times where we've said, instead of kind of like correcting him or maybe going at it from that route, we've just stopped and said, "Would you like a hug?" And it's interesting because, when he gets upset, he makes a certain face and a certain stance. And then when we ask, "Would you like a hug?" his whole demeanor just changes. And he says yes. And he comes over here, we give him a hug, and normally he starts to cry. And I'm like, "Are you sad that you have to stop playing with your toys?" And he says yes. And then he just kind of moves on. He's able to just kind of move on beyond that. And I just think it's interesting how sometimes just being brought near to someone, in this case an embrace, can soften the hard feelings or animosity that you might have toward that person or anything like that. We've been in this series called Christ Alive in Me. Last week, the sermon we talked about, Pastor Brian talked about how Christ identifies us. He identifies me. Today we're going to talk about how we have been brought near. So I encourage you to pull out your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians. For this passage today, you really want to have something in front of you. This is a little bit thicker of a passage, so I encourage you to really have it in front of you. If you don't have one with you, grab one of those blue Bibles in front of you. It's page 827. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 11, and we'll go to the end of the chapter. "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, would you speak to us right now? You have a word for us. Would you make that evident? Would our hearts be open to hear what it is that you have to hear, to hear what it is that you have to say to us today? May we be willing to change and to grow closer to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. Now, the Ephesians were not Jews. They were Gentiles. When you see this kind of this first part here, like a verse 11, what he's referring to is this. The Jews referred to themselves as the circumcised or the circumcision, and they referred to the Gentiles as the uncircumcision. So that's what he's talking about, Jews versus Gentiles. Now, the Jews didn't like the Gentiles. They didn't even want to associate with them. Now, I'm not positive, but if I had to guess, probably the majority of us are not Jewish and are probably Gentiles. So we might think, okay, I'm reading this, I get it, but what does this have to do with us today? Well, let me ask you, are there people in your life that you don't like? It applies. Are there people in your life that you don't associate with? Are there people in the church whom you avoid? Amen. I'll take that as a yes. So it does apply. It does apply. I love how he kind of starts this part of the passage out. Verse 12, it says, remember. It's so easy to forget sometimes where we were and how far Christ has brought us. Think about it. He kind of mentions like five different things. We were separated from Christ. Well, he's referring to the Gentile Christians, but it applies to us. We were separated from Christ. We were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers to the covenants of promise. No hope and without God. No hope. You ever been without hope? There is hope in Jesus Christ. For a non-Christian, this world is kind of as good as it will get. Because after they die, what awaits them is hell. And for a Christian, this world is kind of as bad as it will get. Because what awaits us is eternity in heaven with Jesus. No sorrow, no death, no pain. So that's why there's hope in Christ. We know that this world is temporary. And he has sealed us. He's guaranteed us with his Holy Spirit that we are going to be with him in heaven. All right, let's look at verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's kind of the first thing I want us to think about today. We have been brought near to God through Christ. We have been brought near. By the sacrifice of Jesus, we've been brought near. What that means by being brought near is we're in relationship with Jesus. Now, the Gentiles, it talks about, you know, far off and near. The Gentiles were far off from God. They had no relationship with God kind of in the first place. But the Jews weren't much better. They were near to God in a sense, like from the standpoint of like a nationality standpoint. But they constantly broke the covenant. So they weren't really near. They were just near externally, but internally they were not. So Christ, what Christ did is made a way for all of us to be near to him, to have a relationship with him, to be near to him internally in our hearts. So when we remember how far off we were from God, if you remember last week, we looked at the first part of the chapter 2, like verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. We were dead. We remember that you were dead in your trespasses. Trespasses is just a fancy word for sin. Okay? We were dead in our sins. But because of Christ, we have been made alive. Christ now lives in us. Christ has made you alive and now lives in you. Would you say that it's evident to others that Christ lives in you? That Christ lives in me? Is it obvious? I'm not talking about obvious from a standpoint of like wanting to receive praise. I'm just saying, does your walk with Christ have fruit? Is it evident that Christ is alive in you and how you live and how you talk? And how you treat others? Or would people be kind of surprised? Oh, I didn't realize they were a Christian. I didn't realize she was a disciple of Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to grow closer to God, but I want my life to reflect Jesus more and more. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace. Christ is our peace. He gives us peace with God. And we've talked about this a little bit before. I've mentioned this, how we can be at peace as sinners with a holy God is because of Jesus Christ. So we can be at peace with God. Verse 15, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. So we have been brought near to each other. Because we've been brought near to God, brought from death to life, as a result, we've been brought near each other. We're joined together in a new body, the body of Christ. Christ has made us one, unified in him. Are you unified with other believers? Are you in unity with them, or are you divided with them? Are you constantly at ends with other believers? I love this next verse here, verse 16. And he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Reconciliation. I mean, that's what it's all about. Christ has reconciled us to God so that, and as a result, we can be reconciled with each other. We no longer have to be hostile toward each other. Who are you hostile toward? When you see their face and you turn away and you don't want them to see you, that's probably who you're hostile toward. And that's probably also who you need reconciliation with. And I need reconciliation with. Can you think of someone who you need to be reconciled with? Jump down to verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens or foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're no longer strangers. Isn't it easy to hate someone you don't really know? It's easy to kind of build up this whole case against someone who you don't know, whether it's on TV or, you know, someone you read about, but even in person, someone who you just barely know or maybe just kind of nod at when you see them. It's easy to kind of start to hate someone. I found in my life, it's easy to create some kind of like hostility in my head. Maybe they've done something I didn't like, I didn't quite understand, but I barely know them, but I don't say anything, so I'm just going to stew over it for the rest of my life. I'm never going to actually go talk to them and try to figure out what's going on. I'm never going to try to, you know, work it out. It's like if you give the devil like an inch of bitterness, he turns it into this whole story of hate and hostility. And most of the time, it's not even based in reality, especially the stuff that kind of just, you know, goes on in our head. I have found on those times when I'm thinking all these thoughts, if I just go and say hello and just have a meaningful conversation with that person, a lot of those imagined wrongs start to go away. Connection. When I connect with the person, it's easy to hate a stranger, so get to know them better. You probably won't hate them so much. What would it look like for you to get to know some of the Christians in your life that you don't like? Maybe some of us need, I'll just put it this way. Jeff, go to the next slide. Don't be a stranger. I'll just put it that way. Get to know people. Get to know each other. Verse 20. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So we have, in our backyard, we have a detached garage. It's separate from the house. And it's like an unfinished garage. There's, you know, if you go inside, there's some drywall, but there's other parts where there's no drywall. There, and you can see the insulation, the studs. There's parts where the insulation had kind of gotten messed up and it was bad. So I've been working to kind of, you know, repair that, replace the insulation, put up drywall. And I was thinking, you know, each of these materials is vitally necessary. The drywall is necessary to cover those studs and to cover the insulation so you can, you know, use the space. The insulation is necessary to help regulate temperature so it's not too hot or too cold. And the studs are necessary to hold it all together so it doesn't, you know, fall down off the wall. The drywall can't say to the insulation, you're unnecessary. And the insulation can't say that to the studs or to the drywall. You see what I'm saying? Each part is unique and different, and yet is very necessary. What if we saw the ways in which other Christians were different from us as vitally necessary to the dwelling place of God? Maybe we look down on others as unfinished, and they're a little rough around the edges. Maybe it's the flip side. Maybe you look down on the ones who look a little more finished and look a little more polished. Maybe you see yourself as drywall. Maybe you see yourself as insulation. Maybe you see yourself as a stud. Sorry. I've been laughing about that one all week in my head. If you're a stud, do you only hang out with other studs? Well, that sounds funny too. If you are insulation, do you only hang out with other insulation? Do you only hang out with people who are like you? Can you imagine if I brought you over to our house, showed you the garage, and I said, well, right over here, this wall, you see, the studs, they didn't really get along with insulation. And insulation doesn't really like how the studs talk to them. So this entire wall here is held up solely by drywall. You would probably say, I have to go now, because it would not be safe to be in that space. All three of those are necessary. You know, in that kind of example, it's easy to see how silly that would be, but do we see it in our own lives and in the church that we need different types of people to help support each other? Hey, Jeff, go ahead with the next slide. We need to see the value in other people's uniqueness. We need to see and remember that they're different for a reason. We need to see their value. God sees their value. He made them that way to some degree with different strengths and gifts. Now, God doesn't make us jerks. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like just, you know, just different. God made us different because he's building a dwelling place. Our functionality is amplified when we're joined together. A wall made purely of insulation is just a pile of insulation. We need each other. So maybe we can see our differences as ways that we can complement each other, like pieces of the puzzle do. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of only talking to people who are just like me. It's easy to fall into that, but I'm tired of that being the norm for my relationship with Christ. He's called us to more than that. He's called us to love people who are not like us. It's time to start loving the whole household of God. Let's treat each other like family, not like strangers, like friends. Let's get to know each other better. And a lot of that is about just being intentional about having meaningful conversations. Hey, I don't like you, but let's go to lunch. Maybe I'll like you more after lunch. Most of the time, that's the case. Let's be at peace with each other. If we're at peace with a holy God, then we can be at peace with each other. Christ has showed us his grace and his mercy. We can show grace and mercy to others. If Jesus loves that person so much that he is willing to die for them too, then I can show love toward them as well. Last thing, verse 21. In whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. That part, joined together. You know, it's funny, you and I can maybe have our differences. We can get in fights about all sorts of things, not agree on all kinds of topics. But when a Tennessee football game is on, we can sit right next to each other on the couch because we can both cheer for the same team. It's interesting how sometimes certain things allow you to move beyond your differences. We're on the same team. We have more in common than we realize. As Christians, we both love Jesus. We're both redeemed by his grace. And we both want to follow him. Jeff, go ahead with that next slide. So instead of focusing on our differences, let's focus on our shared love for Christ and our desire to do his will. We're one body. One body. Let's act like it. I think the world is tired of seeing us not act like one body. The world has grown tired of seeing the church fight with the church. It's just most of it, I think, is just unnecessary. We're at peace with God. Let's be at peace with each other. We've been brought near to God because of Jesus. So let's live in a way that reflects that. And because we've been brought near to each other, Let's not be strangers. Let's not be enemies fighting over differences. You're family. We're family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, called to love each other as Christ loves us. We've been brought near to each other. Let's live in a way that reflects that. Let's pray. Jesus, you told your disciples that others will know that they are your disciples because of the way they love each other. And Lord, we don't love each other very well. May we change. May we have a change of heart there. May we take intentional steps forward toward loving those who we have not seen eye to eye with, or maybe just loving those that we barely even know. May we take a step forward, not from a legalism standpoint, but because we love you and we want to grow closer to you and we want our lives to reflect your glory so that when people see us, they really just see you. May we grow closer to you today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.